is what does it mean for the Browns? Probably more losing, but we will in about 20 minutes. We are going to get into the Cavs conversation here, but because the Cavs are back and we actually have some things to look forward to tonight on the road in Toronto. They're, I want to say the last time I checked, a 6.5-point favorite here.
Yep.
We also have Ross Tucker coming up in 1 hour. Daryl's going to join us at 5:20 today. Big Shot Bob, Robert Ory's joining us at 6. And I don't think we, either of us, have hit this question head on, which is Kevin Stefanski safe? And the reason why I think it's such a pertinent question right now is, with this announcement today, it's so old Brownsian, right? The idea of logic or lack thereof of the guy that the only reason he has a job in AVP is in New England is because Deshaun Watson, and it was supposed to build an offense for Deshaun. The second Deshaun gets hurt, now it's Ken Dorsey's show. That's such a old Brownsian thing to do at 1-6. It's the first time, Danny, at any point that I considered Kevin might not even make it to January.
Yeah, I think that's the reality we're living in, where we could see the Browns fire the two-time Coach of the Year less than 12 months after winning a Coach of the Year award. I think that is on the table. I do. I don't think his job is safe.
Well, but
I really don't.
The whole time I thought, listen, there, because I mean, I feel like I was the first person to start saying things like, guys, this doesn't look like this is more than just Deshaun is really bad at football and is a shell of himself as a human being. This is really problematic when a team has so many self-inflicted things that 100% line up with coaching or leadership. Like, that's, even if you were trying to you know, you're a car with a flat tire and the flat tire is Deshaun, there's just a lack of sign of life so early in the season that, like, and I thought John Greco said it perfect with the Monty Boys earlier this week, where he said, like, nobody in the NFL is doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, none of the veteran teams, certainly, and teams coming off winning seasons, no one's doing what you're doing. So I feel like I've been the person sounding the alarms about coaching and leadership and things that, and even I, if you had asked me 2 weeks ago, any chance Kevin Stefanski gets fired before the end of the season, I always would have gone, you owe it to Kevin, let him finish out the season, and then you have to make a decision. Like, that's just, I think every team, I feel like we just act like every coach has 100% safe until they don't. No, I think the entire NFL fluctuates on any given time. Even coaches we love and respect, I guarantee you. Like, there was a time where Baltimore almost ran off John Harbaugh.
I mean, there was conversation about Mike Tomlin last year.
Yes. And, like, so it's every situation is more fluid than we realize. But I don't, I like, to me, it's shocking. It is shocking to me, as somebody who I feel like I have not had kid gloves with Kevin Stefanski. I have had my questions. And sometimes I've gone harder. Sometimes I've been like, I see what he does. I kind of see the value there. But it is shocking to me, as a person with the most ardent criticism of Kevin on this station, to then be sitting here and thinking, is it the bye week? Because the other pressure that will come is if they get to 1-6, 1-7, 1-8, 1-9 is, there's a guy in the building who would be the slam dunk home run hire that if you wanted to put a Band-Aid on the boo-boo that is your relationship with the fans, hiring Mike Vrabel, there's not a single person out there that wouldn't go full chub for Mike Vrabel as the Browns head coach. So I think that's where I'm at of, like, again, I'm not saying that should happen now. I'm not saying I'm advocating that. If the job opens up, I want Mike Vrabel. I'll go on that. But there's the whole pesky little thing about Kevin Stefanski being the head coach. But man, I'll tell you, it is shocking to me, even today, even with Deshaun, even with, I don't know why it took 3 years to try and build a different offense around Deshaun, even with everything, that now I'm not 100% certain that Kevin makes it to December, let alone January.
Yeah, and it is a terrible place to be. I can't believe we're here. Like, if I would have said this to you, last, after the win, what was it, Christmas Eve, they played Houston. It's when they, you know,
just boat raced him.
Destroyed him.
Amari, 200 plus yards. Yep.
If I would have told you after that win, hey, 10 months from now, Kevin Stefanski might get fired.
Mm-hmm.
What would you have said then? Because that is just how insane this entire season has been, that we're talking about a guy who could do almost no wrong. last year, especially once Deshaun Watson was hurt, even while Deshaun Watson was healthy, which was a weird situation to deal with because, you know, we remember that second half against Baltimore, which I'm glad we don't have to hear about anymore. But he was in and out of the lineup a ton before that. And it was a really tough balance, I think, for Kevin and for the team last year before that season-ending injury.
I would have said Haslam's going to Haslam, by the way.
But that's kind of... is that where we're at? Like, is that what is happening here?
I
don't know that it's not.
Yeah, I'll go back to it. People think that it's got as ugly as it's going to get. Nope.
There's always a chance. It can always get worse.
And you've got certain guys in that locker room, like a guy like Miles. And I have had my criticism of Miles and how he handled things on Sunday. I also said yesterday, you trade that guy, I might be done being a Browns fan. Actually, I said I am done being a Browns fan. Because he is still one of the three best players you've had in the last 40 years. Like, this is not just since 99. But, like, guys, they get to 1-9. Miles is going to have some things to say.
Yeah.
And it's not going to reflect well on Kevin.
Right.
It's not just that. I mean, Newsom is a talker. They got dudes that are going to talk. Mm-hmm. And that is going to get really uncomfortable. Because there's only one way for ownership to kind of take it. So... yeah, I think, like, for me, he's not safe. And not just safe, like, in January. If you said 3 weeks from now, if you told me right now, 3 weeks from now he's fired, I can't refute it.
No.
I'm not saying it's the right move. I want to be very clear here because we're so close to it that me trying to tell you what's going on with Kevin and how much is on Kevin and how much is on Andrew and how much is on Haslam and Dee Podesta, like, I don't know right now. That's why I'm trying to ask some of these questions so I can figure out what I think. I don't want this for Kevin. And I also, by the way, one of the things that has become like a trope in sports media is now, well, he'll have a job tomorrow. That's not what I'm not concerned about that.
No.
You have to make your decision.
Right.
But the idea that I can't tell you definitively 3 weeks from now he's safe, I don't know how that makes anybody feel good.
Well, it shouldn't make anybody feel good because... Kevin Stefanski is not having a good year as a head coach. He's not having a good year as a play caller. He's not having a good year, period. That doesn't mean he forgot how to do all those things really well and at a really high level, because we've seen proof of him being able to do that. You don't forget how to do those things. You just don't. But I have no reason. I'm with you. Like, if he was fired, their bye week is coming up in 2 weeks. If he's fired at the bye week, would that stun me? No, because I have no reason to trust this organization. Somebody's going to have to be the fall guy. I have no reason to trust the organization to make it somebody other than him.
Well, and here's the other thing. Their decision's going to be made for them if the locker room doesn't play for Kevin. And listen, I think we conflate this conversation all the time. I think it is easy for guys to... I think it's easy to watch guys follow people like Vrabel, who are leader of men or, you know, big bros with big personalities. I think it's easy. By the way, those guys lose a locker room too.
Yeah.
So, but I think my point is, it's easy to see those guys in action. With Kevin, it's just tougher because his style is so completely different. And I think that's like, it's just, yes, there's change. Finally, change has come. I don't know it leads to wins. I think it just leads to more... The loss is looking differently, but it's tough to feel like any of this is good for the Browns today. It might be good for them next year, might be good for them several years after that, but today it just doesn't feel like any of this is truly good for the Browns in the meantime. 216-474-0092, what you got?
So let me ask you this about losing the locker room, because with how this season has gone, and particularly when you bring up the Achilles injury to Deshaun Watson, I am of the opinion that this team is going to look drastically different next year. This roster, I think, Nick, is going to go over a ton of turnover between now and when the Browns kick off the 2025 season. Does that change how much the locker room playing for Kevin Stefanski matters this year if that locker room is going to be drastically different next year? Does that change the importance?
Yes, because the guys that have to buy in are the guys who are going to be here, like Miles, like Denzel, like Njoku. And I think, and this is where I was going to go before my ADHD kicked in, I think they like Kevin.
I do too.
But I don't know they love Kevin, and I don't know they play for Kevin. And that is a bit, that doesn't mean that they don't, that doesn't mean they don't respect him. Like, but there are guys that you enjoy personally that you don't hate working for, and then there's people you'd follow to the gates of the hell. like, or hell, as some call it, not the hell. I just like to call it the hell. But no, I don't think Kevin's a follow you to the gates of Valhalla. And I think that's where this season gets really, really sticky really, really quickly here. Let's go with, give me dealer's choice there. What do you want?
Let's go line number one.
Line number one.
Why not?
Yes, you can just say his name. It's Curtis in Cleveland. What's up, buddy?
You could have picked somebody else.
Hey, what's up, man?
Not much, buddy. What you got?
Man, I've been getting up to this sort of stuff, man. They want to criticize the quarterback. He even had an offensive line that lost the most sacks, dropped the most passes, and committed the most penalties. What the hell? He had one to be Buzz Bunny. Blocked. Then throw the ball, then run downfield and catch it because Amari Cooper leads the league and drop passes. He can't catch it. He didn't cost him three games, man. And I'm listening to this stuff, and I know why Stefanski did this. He got an offense, they scored 20 points in seven games. He said, okay, maybe this dude could do this better than me because I ain't doing it right. He even had his whole offensive line out all year. He just got Nick Chubb back. And I don't understand fans that bet on their team when they got 10 games to go. And I've seen four teams with 8-8 records, the Patriots, the Raiders, the Ravens, you know, the Seattle Seahawks, go to the Super Bowl like that. I just want those bandwagon guys to realize, if you jump back on the bandwagon when they're browsing the playoffs this year, I'm going to rip you.
All right, Curtis, we appreciate you, buddy. That's Curtis, on you. You that can, is 100% on you.
I thought that was a great call.
But Which part?
I mean, wait, when he said that he's going to rip us when the Browns are in the playoffs this year.
Yeah. All right. He might be having some of what he's having there. The Browns have lost five straight, and Deshaun Watson, his season's over. Not sure if you heard about this, seen about this, I've heard about it. What does that mean for the rest of the season? What does that mean for Andrew and Kevin? Daryl Ryder and Andy Bass can talk about it on their podcast. It's Always Game Day in Cleveland, including post-game drops after every game. Subscribe to this podcast now at 923thefan.com or the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. We're going to get back to the Brown stuff in the future. Of course, Ross Tucker joining us at 4, but the Cavs are back, and we set that bar for them next on 92.3 The Fan. Cavs head coach Kenny Atkinson, that was earlier today.
Yesterday.
That too. I guessed. It was either yesterday or today, and I just kind of, I was like 50-50, we'll see. I've been talking about what the Cavs need to kind of clean up from the preseason now that Cavs are back. They got the Raptors in Toronto tonight. 6.5-point favorites. Let them know.
It's a bit of a big spread.
Yeah, for a team in Toronto that, like, I just don't know.
Well, I think Toronto might fall into the, like, somebody's got to be 10th in the Eastern Conference. Like, that's kind of where the Raptors are. But also, they have very good fans. It's going to be a tough place to play on opening night. Like, if they play the Raptors 2 weeks from now in Toronto, 6.5, no big deal. Opening night, though, I think it just throws a little bit of a wrench into it. Makes it a little bit of a bigger spread than I might be comfortable with.
We do have Ross Tucker coming up in 40 minutes talking about the Kevin Stefanski news of the day. But as the Cavs is back, I just think we're in an interesting spot here where I do think Cleveland fans are looking for something to glom onto. And because the Browns are so bad, I think it was a big part of why the Guardians got, I mean, listen, they're in the playoffs. There's always a glow up in Cleveland when a Cleveland team's in the playoffs. But I think so many people so quickly turned their energy to the Guardians. And I think that now, for worse or better, goes right to the Cavaliers because the it's no contest with the Cleveland Browns. There's nobody's going to be paying attention to them outside of me. And I shouldn't say nobody's going to pay attention to them. The Cavs can be the distraction we all need whenever we need it. If you can come out here and play quick out of the gates.
Well, I think fans want to have something to be happy about, and it's very clear that they're not going to be able to be happy about the Cleveland Browns for a while. The Cavs are going to be a really good basketball team. They're going to be a team, Nick, that I think is going to be very fun to watch. They're going to look much different offensively than they did under J.B. Bickerstaff with Kenny Atkinson now running the show as head coach. I think Evan Mobley is going to take a huge jump forward this year. I think there are a lot of things with the Cavs to be excited about for this season.
Yeah, it's so funny. I think the over-under that I saw, 48.5.
That's what FanDuel has it at,
so
yeah.
So it's so weird. Like, I'm not even focusing on wins and losses yet. Like, I think if you...
Wins and lessons?
Them too. But yeah, I really do. I look at this and I kind of like, you know what, man? I just want to see it look good. Like, offensively, I'm almost to the point where I think a critical mistake that was made last year is you didn't really build a new offense. and you really didn't focus on winning. So you didn't achieve either. So I really think that for this year to go where it needs to go, like tonight is the beginning of building blocks to let's get that offense out there. Let's make sure Evan gets touches at the elbow or run the offense through him where he's empowered consistently. And even something like, hey, Jared Allen, early in the season, when you get that ball out of the three-point line, because I'm expecting he's going to get more looks out there, fire away. Let's just see. I don't think you laughed at that.
I don't think that's going to happen that frequently. I don't.
I'm not saying Brook Lopez. No, definitely not Brook Lopez.
But I've asked Kenny about this, and you know, one of the things that he said is Jarrett kind of needs to prove it a little bit before he has that green light to start taking those shots. Now he did take some three pointers under Atkinson when those two were in Brooklyn together so many years ago, but that was on a Brooklyn team that had much different expectations than this Cavaliers team does now. So I wouldn't necessarily expect that.
A very diplomatic way of saying they sucked.
They had different expectations.
Yeah, which was to suck.
But they didn't have their own draft picks. Like, that was the year where we were watching the Nets in Cleveland all the time because the Cavs controlled their pick.
Thank you for Colin Sexton, by the way.
Yeah.
Went real
instead
far.
Of Luka Doncic.
Oh man, there's so now you're going to lead me down the wrong rabbit hole.
You're welcome.
So I'm just curious. Like for me, it's I want it to look fun. I want to see. You know, I'm looking for Evan, and I think big picture, it does feel like at some point the expectations are going to come. I'm trying to keep my expectations in check until I need to start having them. Meaning, like second half of the season.
Right. I mean, the expectations for this team should center around playoff performance. And I understand that's not the easiest thing to say because there is a new head coach and this team is going to look different, but it is the same team. The roster has not changed much. Like Marcus Morris Sr. is gone and Jalen Tyson is in. Other than that, it's pretty much copy paste what it was last year, with the exception of the coaching staff that's on the sidelines. So I think expectations should be, you need to go on a run in the playoffs for this to be considered a successful season. I don't know how much wins and losses matter in the regular season. Obviously, if you fall outside of the top six and you're the Cavs, it is a disaster. But I don't know that there's a big difference between finishing second and maybe finishing fifth in the Eastern Conference, just in terms of what we view as a success, because the playoff victories are going to be the victories we count, not the regular season victories. That said, I like the over 48.5.
I will say, I think what you're driving at is something I agree with, that I do think placement in the East is going to be a little bit of a distraction. Guys, the Knicks traded for a lot of really good players, including Karl-Anthony Towns. Like, the Knicks are the bell of the ball right now. Even the Sixers going after Paul George. Like, I know they're not going to play for the foreseeable future. But, like, I look at this and I'm like, it might not be set up. Like, if we're saying it's playoff or bust, meaning wake me up when the playoffs are here, then I don't know you should care if you're the 3 seed or the 5 seed. I know there are tangible benefits to home field advantage or home court advantage, but, like, I'll be honest with you, you've had a top 4 finish and gotten bonked on the head in the playoffs. I'm all for let's get you ready for the playoffs, and that's a slow build, man. That has more to do with how does it look than, well, how many wins do you have?
So I think it matters to the extent of you really want to avoid Boston. I think the Celtics are awesome. I don't know. I look at the Celtics and I say, you know what? That's the one team I'm not sure the Cavs. And to be fair here, I don't know what these Cavs are going to look like. But that's the one team I'd go, I'm not sure the Cavs can beat that team 4 times in 7 games. But I look at the Knicks, I think the Cavs could win that series. I look at the Sixers, that is absolutely a winnable series. Milwaukee, I feel the same way about. Orlando should be good, better than they were, but I still think the Cavs can be better than they are. There's not a team in the East that I think the Cavs can't beat other than the Boston Celtics. So if you're talking about this, which, you know, we're talking about playoff positioning for basketball on October 23rd, so I get it. But if you're talking about this, it should be everything you can do to be on the other side of Boston, that's a success. Whether Boston is 2 and you finish 5th, that's great. If Boston's 1, you finish 3rd, even better.
I think what would be real, because we are talking about expectations, and really it's not about regular season expectations, it's about postseason expectations. I think if you asked every Cavs fan out there, is it Eastern Conference or bust? I think it'd actually be more of a mixed bag.
Eastern Conference Finals or winning the Eastern Conference?
Eastern Conference Finals or bust.
Okay.
I think it'd be more of a mixed bag because, one, The East is loaded. Two, some of this is predicated on health. You weren't really healthy last year. And three, I think most fans are smart enough to understand that linear development is really tough to achieve in any sport, let alone the NBA. And you might be a trade away from being an Eastern Conference Finals, an actual team that can go to the Eastern Conference Finals and threaten for the finals. This roster still might have its things. I think what's more interesting is where are those expectations internally? Because last year, the Dan Gilbert is around more, that buzz built. Last year, it was very clear that at some point JB was going to be the sacrificial lamb. There's one guy who's been here the whole time that is the obvious candidate next. So if you're looking for a sacrificial lamb, I just think that's really interesting. I wonder internally whether they're going, hey, just so you know, if there's a trade to be made, you're going to want to make it, because if we don't make it to the finals this year in the East, it's your ass.
I mean, making it to the finals this year is, I think, in the Eastern Conference Finals, yes. But I also don't know that replacing someone in the front office is the way that you should go. Like, if this team does not reach its goals, then I think it's time for a roster shakeup, which the goal to me should be the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, it is difficult for me to say if this team, which lost in the first round 2 years ago, lost in the second round last year, doesn't take another step forward, it's hard for me to say, you know what, if you make the second round of the playoffs again, that is enough to be considered a success. Doesn't mean it's some abject failure, but it's not a success either. If they get to the conference finals, no matter what happens there, aside from just getting pantsed in four games against the Celtics, I think fans should be pretty happy, and you should consider that to be a success. That said, if you don't get there, then I think you have to start thinking about what kind of roster shakeups can get this team to the next level.
Yeah, and I think the problem with that is, man, what a lame-ass offseason it was in the NBA. Like, up until the Karl Anthony Towns trade, up until Paul George to Philadelphia, there just was no interesting player movement. I mean, unless you want to consider CP3 to San Antonio.
No, but I mean, you had Bridges go from Brooklyn to, you know, the other side of the bridge in New York, and I think that was a big deal across the league.
The Bridges?
Yeah, you like that? Yeah. That was a good
poetic
one, I thought.
Very
thank
nice.
You. Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
You should write
yeah.
for like a living or
yeah.
something.
Maybe
yeah.
I will. Maybe I'll
like
think
Cleveland
about
Magazine
it.
Or something like that.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do.
Spitball.
But you did have moves. None of them, I don't know. And the way you look at it, Boston didn't do anything. Boston didn't need to do anything. New York did quite a bit. Philly added Paul George. Milwaukee is running it back. They're in a very similar situation. Orlando added Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. That was their big move. And he's a nice role player, but it's not as if they added a superstar. The East, I think, is going to look pretty similar to what it did last year, but the Cavs are another year older, and I think that's a good thing for them. A team like Philly, they added Paul George, but Joel Embiid's also another year older and doesn't exactly have the most clean bill of health. Paul George doesn't either. You look at the average age of Milwaukee's starting five, it's like 31 years old. In the NBA, teams that are that old, but they're starting five, and that injured is you have Brooke Lopez, who has had back surgeries. Chris Middleton had surgery on both of his ankles this year. Like, that's never a good sign. Damian Lillard has not stayed healthy consistently for the last few years. The Cavs have a real opportunity, I think, to be one of the three best teams in the East and go on that type of playoff run.
So I agree. What I think is kind of fascinating about it, though, is it felt like, okay, teams like New Orleans and Cleveland, there's an amount of teams that were kind of in a cluster of your pieces don't fit right. And clearly the Cavs and Pelicans could have lined up because of, you know, the relationship between Kobe and David Griffin, because of where they need help and where you needed help.
Right.
And it didn't happen. And what I think makes that, what makes it so interesting is most times going into a season, I tend to think in the NBA, we'll talk about it next summer, right? And things like for things to shake free, that big move to shake free, it's usually this team falls out of it and they didn't expect to. And it's a team like Chicago that's rudderless. And then all of a sudden, hey, here's this $30 million player that give me a first rounder for. That's a cheap price, but here it is. I think what makes this year interesting is I think because of the and when I say lack of player movement, I'm talking about teams in that middle part of the NBA where the Cavs are of – You've got so much talent, but man, it's just that weird thing of pieces lining up. I don't know that I can definitively tell you the same 15 guys you're rolling out there tonight are going to be the same 15 guys. And I'm talking about even the top of the roster after the deadline. I'm not predicting anything.
Well, no,
I think that's wild.
I do think this Cavs team, and they've not made trades really in the middle of the season lately. While they've been competitive, they've not done that. I believe this team will make a trade at some point this year. I don't know how impactful that trade is going to be, but you take a look, and this is kind of getting in the weeds here. But right now, the Cavs are over the tax line. They should not want to pay the tax this year because they will be paying the tax for the next several years when those extensions for Donovan Mitchell and Evan Mobley and then Jared Allen down the road kick in. They're going to get super expensive. Them cutting salary while also improving the team will be a really interesting needle to see if Kobe Altman can thread this winter.
216-474-0092. The Cavs back on the court tonight. I just want a low commitment, casual relationship with the Cavs right now. I'm just coming out of a really bad relationship with the 2024 Cleveland Browns.
Just trying to chill.
I don't want to put any expectations on this. I just want to watch you do your thing. And then I just want to go ahead and see, you know, hey, who knows? Maybe it leads down to a ring. Maybe it leads to just, yeah, let's be friends and like a trade of Darius Garland. But I'm just saying, right now, I'm not ready for commitment. I'm not ready for another freak out. I just want to learn how to love again.
You're just trying to FanDuel Sports Network and chill.
That's true. Very good. Eastern Conference Finals are bust for the Cavs. Is that where you are? That and another way to frame what this year could be for the Cavaliers. That's next on 92.3 The Fan. We got Ross Tucker coming up in just about 15 minutes here, but this is Danny's last segment with us, so I'm just going to talk about a lot of things that have nothing to do with Danny, like start your game day with Earl the Pearl from 7 to 9, then catch the Fan Bud Light Tailgate Show with JP and Spencer German starting at 9 a.m. through kickoff at 1 p.m. Daryl Ryder joins us for the latest from the stadium. Make the Fan Bud Light Tailgate Show part of your game day routine on the radio home of the Cleveland Browns. 92.3 The Fan, presented by Valley Automotive Group, the Buckeye Law Group, and Sal's Heating and Cooling, Plumbing and Sewer. Get details at 92.3thefan.com. Big happenings in the NBA there, Danny. In the break, Shams bomb, now of ESPN. Yeah. Shams tweeting out, the NBA is likely to commence an investigation into the Sixers surrounding the player participation of All-NBA center Joel Embiid, sources told ESPN. And so we got that story already.
I mean, who could have seen this coming? Who could have guessed that Joel Embiid was not going to play in nationally televised games? Not me. On a real note, though, I am surprised. I don't understand why he's not ready for the season. Because you look at his summer, he played on Team USA. He was available. He was a big reason why they won the gold medal in that semifinal game against Serbia. He was awesome. Like, he outplayed Nikola Jokic. He's a big reason why the United States won a gold medal. What happened between then and now that he's not healthy enough to play an opening night? Because you can't tell me.
I think it happened to be October.
Yeah, but this shouldn't be part of the plan. Like, opening night is not part of the plan. Listen, I don't anticipate Joel Embiid playing back-to-backs ever again in his career. I don't anticipate him playing enough games to be eligible to be All-NBA or win another MVP. Like, I think those days for him are behind him, and especially with where
Philadelphia
Philadelphia is at as a franchise. Like, for them, you know, we talked about Cavs expectations. For Philly, I think it is championship or bust. And we're saying that about a team that, with Embiid, has not yet been out of the second round. But they are a championship or bust type of organization right now with how deep they are into this. But you can't tell me that on opening night he's not ready to go. That doesn't make sense to me. And now Paul George, I get, like, he actually got hurt. But we've not seen Joel Embiid on a floor this year. He didn't play in the preseason. He's not playing tonight. What's actually going on there?
Yeah. And it's, I don't know. I'm also at a point where the NBA calling attention to the fact that players aren't playing, I get the optics of you're at least looking like you're trying to do something. I don't know how much you can really do.
Fine them $50,000. That's a loose change.
Like, it is a real problem. But until NBA players recognize it's a real problem, it's not getting fixed. Now, we're talking about the Cavs and, you know, is it Eastern Conference Finals or bust? I agree with you where I think that should be the bar. I think context matters, how healthy you are. There's a lot of things that could get you off the hook. If you have to make a trade at the deadline, if you turn Darius into Ingram or Darius into Trey Murphy, like, all of a sudden things can change. That being said, I think another way to kind of contextualize the season is what I think is going to be an interesting push and pull. And I think every NBA team has these. So it's not like this is a bad thing. But right now, this is clearly Donovan Mitchell's team. And I think at some point, the expectation is if Evan is going to fulfill the prophecy, it's going to have to become Evan's team. At least in, 40% of it. He's going to have to take more ownership of this team.
Sure.
And so we said last year going into it, all right, is this the year? Do you start to see kind of some of that seeding? And we never saw it. And I think some of that is, I don't know that's who JB was as a coach to facilitate that. I think Kenny Atkinson strikes me as a really shrewd dude who understands the people side of this as much as anything. And so I think that's what's, I don't know it. I don't even know what will happen in the regular season. But I think this idea of, is it Evan's team? Is it Donovan's team? And that push and pull, that ebb and flow, I think is going to be really fun for now to watch.
I agree with that. And I do think we're going to see a much better version of Evan Mobley very early on. I think that if you watch the preseason games that this team played, Evan didn't necessarily shoot the ball all that well, or even, I mean, in the first game he played, he was terrific at everything. But he played with a much higher sense of urgency on a consistent basis than we've ever seen him play with in a Cavs uniform. He was so much more aggressive, and I'm speaking on the offensive end of the floor. Like, nothing needs to be changed about the way that guy plays defense, and I think everyone can agree with that. Like, he is just a phenomenal defensive player, but offensively is where he needs to take that step. I think we're going to see it. It's not all going to come at once. Like, I don't think he's suddenly going to be a guy that shoots 5 3-pointers a game. He's probably going to shoot 2 or 3. But if he is so much more aggressive with the basketball in his hands and going downhill towards the rim and setting up other guys, I think the Cavs are going to be a really good place. The thing that he has in this preseason, and I hesitate to say this because it's such an absurd type of comparison to make, but right now with what I've seen from Evan Mobley this year, he looks kind of like the guy Giannis was before, like 2 years before Giannis won an MVP. Like, that is what he looks like right now. And if you get
tall,
but that same skill set, yes, tall, skinny, was very skinny.
Although, same guy, basically.
Like, Evan has added weight, but like the way he plays reminds me of that. And Donovan Mitchell, part of the whole Donovan's team versus Evan's team, I think the equation there has changed a little bit too, because Donovan Mitchell, while he's been in Cleveland, I believe has been a better player than the Cavs anticipated getting. Like, he has had the 2 best years of his career, even though he couldn't stay as healthy as he would have liked to last year. He's had the 2 best years of his career in a Cavs uniform. The Cavs traded for a guy that was like a top 20-ish player in basketball. They got a guy that's been a top 10 player in basketball. So that bar for Evan Mobley to be better than Donovan Mitchell elevated so much that now I don't know that that needs to happen. If it does, you are in an incredible spot. But I don't know that it is as necessary because Donovan is better than he was before.
I just say, again, because I think there's pressure everywhere else, I'm just excited to have him back. And I'm in a weird way, I think I'm treating the next month as kind of the preseason. I'm just going to try and enjoy it. I'm going to understand that this is going to be a long road this year, and that, I'm comfortable with, if it looks fun, I'm pretty okay with that to start the season.
And I do think it'll look fun because the Cavs are going to play a different style of offense than they have in the past. And what is fun about sports, Nick? Doesn't matter the sport, scoring points. When you're watching your football team score points, you have fun. When your baseball team's scoring a lot of runs, you have fun. If the Cavs are going to be running up and down the floor and have a dynamic offense, it's going to be fun to watch.
Danny, this has been fun to do with you, buddy. Great stuff again. Tell the people where they can find you, all the good stuff.
Real D Cunningham on Twitter. Everything I do gets put up there at Cleveland Magazine here, Locked On Cavs. Just, I'm doing a little bit of everything.
You've always been a real D to me, and I appreciate it.
I know I have.
Nah, good man, buddy. Appreciate you. Thank you so much.
See you later, buddy.
Danny Cunningham there. Thank you for stopping by. Danny, when we come back, Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider, joins us. We'll get into the Kevin Stefanski news of the day. Ken Dorsey is the new play caller. What does Ross make of that? And maybe we'll get into why it didn't work from Ross's vantage point with DeSean in Cleveland. 92.3 The Fan.